House Bill 1104 for proponents. Representative Brown.
May I testify from my seat?
You may, sir.
Ten 1184 is a bill which is to clear up some of the problems we're having on electronic filing and on Article 9. And at this time, we have a party, Mr. Brent Wilbur, who will give the testimony in regard to 1104.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, Mr. Wilbur.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. My name is Brent Wilbur. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Bankers Association. Approximately 6 years ago, I was sitting in this very room when Tom Leckie from the South Dakota Secretary of State's office came up and informed me that a person had just appeared at the Secretary of State's office and had tried to file a financing statement, or UCC-1, claiming a lien against me in the amount of $2.5 million. And also against U.S. Bankruptcy Judge Irvin Hoyt and Circuit Court Judge John Erickson from Huron. This person was of the group that are commonly known as tax protesters and was trying to destroy my credit rating along with theirs. And I didn't have much of a credit rating. But in any event, he was unable to file that because I had not signed the financing statement until July 1, 2002. A financing statement under Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code could be filed against you, creating what was called a perfected lien, only if you, the debtor, signed the financing statement. When the amendments to Article 9 that you approved 2 years ago came into effect on July 1 of 2002, it did several things. It allowed electronic filing of financing statements so that your bank could, by email, file a financing statement with the Secretary of State and instantaneously be a perfected lien creditor. This is all kind of complicated stuff if you didn't go to law school. But anyway, after July 1st, because the bank could file a financing statement without your signature, the Secretary of State has no method to call whether that's a proper financing statement or not. And recently, up by Faith, a rancher attempted to sell his livestock at the sale barn. The sale barn did a lien check and found that somebody in Sioux Falls was claiming a lien against all of his cattle, because they had filed with the Secretary of State. Now, you have a civil remedy for that. You can demand that the financing statement be released, and then within 20 days, it must be released, or you can start a lawsuit to try to get it released. But there is no criminal penalty for someone who wants to just go file some sort of financing statement, which would, in fact, damage your credit rating. In 1997, the Unified Judicial System sponsored similar legislation dealing with other kinds of liens that are filed, because at one time there were people filing all sorts of constitutional liens, they normally called them. The whole thing probably culminated when a person down by Parker named Dale Buller filed a lawsuit seeking to, the case was Dale Buller versus Dale Buller. He sued himself to invalidate his birth certificate, thinking that the financing statement filed by the Secretary of State would then disappear, which will give you some ideas to the strange things that people are willing to do. This bill just creates a Class 1 misdemeanor if you knowingly file an improper financing statement with the South Dakota Secretary of State. It's a one-sentence bill, and I have nothing further to say unless you have some questions.
Mr. Wilbur, just a quick one. How do you define the word authorize? Obviously, I don't have Article 9 here and know the genesis of this issue is okay. Uniformity of the amendments to Article 9. So.
Virtually every security agreement that you sign authorizes the lender to perfect a security interest by filing or by other means. And so it's right in the security agreement that it would be authorized. As a matter of fact, I checked one that was used by a commercial bank here, and I checked the one that I developed for our law firm. Both of them authorize you to file a financing statement. As an example, under the new Article 9, if you move to Georgia, your bank would then have to file a financing statement in Georgia, and you would have already authorized that.
But in knowing that, I appreciate that. Are there other ways to authorize, though, under the code?
Yes. That would be a question of fact, yeah. As a matter of fact, as to whether you'd authorized it or not.
Okay. Sorry to operate under protocol. It was just something I want to get off my mind. Representative Monroe.
Hey, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Wilbur, what I just heard in testimony is that if a person tries to rob $2.5 million or steal a herd of cattle, basically, you just want that to be a Class 1 misdemeanor?
Well, they're not actually stealing that. They are filing a false lien claim which would create a lien that you would, believe me, it can mess up your credit rating and require you to go hire a lawyer and spend a lot of money to erase that.
To me, that means they're trying to steal if they got a lien against it. I mean,
I would not equate it with grand theft, and I wanted to keep it at a Class 1 misdemeanor just because I felt that was appropriate given the statutory scheme for various other crimes of this magnitude. I mean, it is possible that somebody could, I had to talk to one attorney who thought you could just go file one of these without authorization not long ago. And so people can make mistakes. That's why I kept it a Class 1 misdemeanor.
Representative Valandra.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Wilbur, now, in the case of a bank note or something, you know, you've signed an authorizing note or whatever, and then the bank electronically files, so they don't need the signature on the UCC that used to be physically signed by the borrower or whatever. But I assume that the authorizing statement is attached to the electronic filing.
It is not.
Correct? It is not?
It's in the security agreement, which is not filed with the Secretary of State. The UCC-1 is just a very short, it's a one-page document.
Gray.
Yeah, it's just a plain vanilla document. It says who the debtor is, what their Social Security number is, and what the collateral is that's secured.
But it's signed by the debtor. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. But it's signed by the debtor.
Not necessarily.
It's never been signed.
Oh, it's been up until July 1, 2002.
Okay. Well,
except for very rare circumstances when collateral moved between states, it had to be signed by the debtor.
If I could continue, seems like that's the problem, that there's no authorizing. Maybe we need to mandate some type of authorizing statement because that's pretty crazy if you get a mad ex-wife or something like that can put a lien on your cattle or whatever, or like these tax guys or,
Well, that is why we brought this bill to discourage that sort of activity. I think we would be rechanging the commercial world backwards if we required the signature at the Secretary of State. And there are various technical reasons why creditors very much want to have electronic filing because they know instantaneously that they have a perfected security interest under Article 9.
Mr. Chairman. If I could continue. But, I mean, you could take an ex-grown wife that could just screw everything up, and she might not have the intent. I mean, she might actually think she was entitled to something or, where it says knowing. She might not know.
Well, all I can say is that we would be, if we were going to require the debtor to sign the financing statement again, it would be a major change in Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code. And that's why we brought this bill was because of that exact problem with people doing that. And we put in the words knowingly because of the chance of an honest mistake, because there is a civil remedy. Because in Article 9, you can, if I mistakenly file a lien against you with the Secretary of State thinking you're somebody else or just making a mistake, you can write me a letter essentially or call me and demand I remove it. And I have a certain period of time, I believe it's 20 days, to remove that lien, and if I don't do it, then I can be liable to you for money damages for tortious interference with contract and various other things. So there is a civil remedy, but this is to discourage, quite frankly, the harassment that could take place. And frankly, given the Internet and the way that people can communicate these days, without this, I think you might see these things popping up all over. There was a time in South Dakota when activities of this sort were quite common.
Representative Siebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Brent, can you? I guess I'm confused a little bit just what a financing statement is at this point.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a UCC or if it's a note or the borrowing documents that the bank filled out or just what it is.
Okay.
Thought I knew, but I'm not sure anymore.
Half my class in law school wasn't sure. If you go to get a bank loan, you go to the loan to get a bank, and it's going to be secure. You're going to buy a cow, and you're going to get a bank loan to buy the cow. You go into the bank, and you will sign a note, which it says, "I promise to pay the bank $1,000." You'll sign a security agreement, and the security agreement says, "I give the bank a mortgage, basically, in the cow. And if I don't pay the bank back, the bank can come get the cow." And then, in order to the bank, in order to perfect itself against other creditors, in order to tell the world that they have a lien on that cow, files what's called, it's alternately called either a financing statement or a UCC-1 with the South Dakota Secretary of State. That's to tell everybody in South Dakota that that cow is subject to that bank's lien and put the world on notice, so that somebody doesn't mistakenly buy the cow and not know that the lien is there, because we are a notice state. So you've got three documents. You've got a note, you've got a security agreement, and you've got a financing statement of UCC-1, which is the publicly filed document, just like a mortgage would be publicly filed when you take out a loan on your home.
So the financing statement is a security agreement?
No.
We're talking about one document?
No, there would probably be three documents.
Okay.
There'd be a note. And a document called a security agreement, which is like a mortgage. It used to be called a chattel mortgage in South Dakota. And then the financing statement is the plain vanilla document that's filed with the Secretary of State that says BankWest claims a lien on Representative Siebert's Holstein cow.
I understand all the papers I sign when I get to a note, but I don't know what's sent to the Secretary of State. That's the point I'm getting.
And
you sign about eight of them, you know.
Right. What's sent to the Secretary of State is a one-page document that has your name, your taxpayer ID number, your address, and the taxpayer ID number, Social Security number is key because that's how they search. And then it describes the type of collateral that the bank claims a lien in. In my particular case, it would say one Holstein cow. And that way, if the Holstein cow is sold, you sell it at a sale barn, the sale barn will put the bank's name on the check. But that's the document that's filed. I should have brought one with me, I guess.
Representative Siebert and I go way back. It's the UCC paper. If you went financing statement, struck that, and just said the UCC paper, that's what it is. Representative Hennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I'm kind of amazed that Representative Siebert, I thought he had enough money he didn't ever have to borrow. Maybe that's the reason he doesn't understand this. I have two questions I need to ask you, Brent. First of all, you have said repeatedly effective 2002. Do you mean this is coming effect? Or
I'm sorry, I meant 2001. I'm sorry, I got mixed up. You in the year 2000, in the 2000 session, you passed the amendments to Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code. They became effective July 1, 2001, and that's my mistake. I got my years wrong.
All right, and my second question, I think that I hope clears this up. May I assume that there is a signature on file at the bank, and they can be asked to produce that if you say that lien is improperly filed?
Yes, the security agreement which authorizes the filing of the UCC-1 has to be signed under, I think it's 57A-9-203. The debtor has to sign the security agreement which authorizes the filing of the UCC-1. I've advised my clients, who would include a number of banks and the Farm Credit System, to have the borrower sign have a signed UCC-1 in the file too, signed in blue ink.
So it should be a very simple matter to have that removed if it's accidental.
It is a very simple matter if it's accidental.
Thank you.
Further questions of Mr. Wilbur? Thank you, Brent. Further proponents of House Bill 1104? Further proponents? Hearing none, the committee will close for proponent testimony and open for opponent testimony on House Bill 1104. Are there any opponents? Hearing none, committee will close for public testimony. Representative Monroe.
Mr. Chairman, I move to pass, but if Representative Siebert has three contracts out in his dairy cow, we should call PETA.
Did you get that, Diane? Is there a second?
Motion, yes.
Second, moved by Monroe, seconded by McCauley. Further discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay on the due pass motion. The Secretary will call the roll.
Harding, aye. Gillespie?
Aye.
Hennings?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Madison?
Aye.
McCauley?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Marshall?
Aye.
Nostradamus?
Aye.
Siebert?
Aye.
Alondra?
Aye.
Michaels?
Aye.
House
Bill 1104, having received a majority vote of the members elect of this committee, is hereby declared passed. Okay. Oh, there's a motion for consent. Is there a second? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is placed on consent.